That's not a nigga's nature. They call it bad behavior. That's not a sister's nature. They call it bad behavior.
Right out the gate, they assume you're a bitter soul. With a chip on your shoulder, cause the world is
cold.
A strong woman getting lumped in the same basket as Tiffany Haddish, both sexy and ratchet, but at the same time loud, with a college degree. Insecure cause she views the black man as weak. We
live
straight like sheep. Featured up on World Star in hood fights, pulling weaves, wearing sports bras. For Democrats, it's been benign neglect, substituting black fathers for a welfare.
Yo, that's that Robbie Blue. Shout out to Robbie Blue. That's Robbie Blue. Black behavior. What's up, y'all? Welcome to Tariq Radio. Glad to have everybody tuning in. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to have a great broadcast on today's show. Glad to have y'all tuning in. Don't forget, everybody, hit that thumbs up button. Hit that thumbs up button, hit that like button, let everybody know that we're here doing our thing. Ladies and gentlemen, what we're going to do, we're going to take what's called a real quick commercial break, ladies and gentlemen. And I don't want y'all to move a muscle. And let everybody know we're live. Let everybody know we're live. And we'll be right back after these messages right here on Tariq Radio. Don't move a goddamn muscle.
Yo, you still ain't getting women? Really? Come on, son. You need to go to badboymembership.com and step up your game. What's up, y'all? It's your boy, Mr. Locario, the bad boy of the dating game, and I'm telling you that if you really want to attract beautiful women, you need to go to badboymembership.com. This is where you get 45 through 90 minute step-by-step dating advice tutorials every month. Just sign up, follow the advice, and you'll get the woman you want. Go to badboymembership.com. That's badboymembership.com.
The Hurricane Report is a news website dedicated to lovingly serving the Black American community. Go to our website, h-report.news. Subscribe to us, follow us on Instagram at h_reeepoort, Twitter at the h_report2, and share the articles. You can purchase merch, donate, or drop us a line through our contact form. Go to h-report.news. Take action and maintain freedom.
Hello, everyone. We all know we're in the middle of a global pandemic right now, but what we don't realize is most of the masks that we use to keep ourselves and loved ones safe are not that effective. That's why the masks at normalbrands.com have been treated with a special solution that's harmless to humans and deadly to bacteria. Our masks are not made in China, but instead the US and Europe. Right now, we're running a 20% off special until May 18th, so get your mask to keep yourself and your loved ones safe today.
Check out the brand new documentary on Amazon Prime called New Orleans Politics. It's a documentary film about the population of New Orleans. It talks about why there's so many black people there, but they control the bare minimum of the economic resources. Why does this phenomenon exist? Why is it that people who have no credit history come to the country and are able to open businesses and thrive, while a lot of the native New Orleans do not get to have those same opportunities? Check out this in-depth documentary called New Orleans Politics. It is conducted by my brother, Tyrese McKnight. You can get it on Amazon Prime right now.
Looking to minimize the possibility of exposure to COVID-19 or the coronavirus? Then head over to iwantamask.com. We have face masks that have been approved by the FDA. Use the exclusive Tariq Radio discount code 1804 for 30% off your order at iwantamask.com for details.
Hey, black nerds out there, are you tired of nerdy platforms that refuse to acknowledge white supremacy and geek culture? Do you seek a black nerd podcast that not only covers nerdy topics such as anime, video games, movies, and TV shows, but also subjects that only black nerds can relate to? If so, then head on over to the world's first and only black nerd empowerment podcast, The Swarthy Nerd, at swarthynerd.com. Join the host, TV Guru, and Yuki the Snowman every Tuesday on their mission to provide information and empowerment to black nerds everywhere. Again, that's The Swarthy Nerd at swarthynerd.com. Swarthy is spelled S-W-A-R-T-H-Y nerd.com.
If you are looking for an educational program to keep your children engaged and learning during the quarantine, order Gifted and Lit. Gifted and Lit is an award-winning program that teaches kids math, science, language arts, financial literacy, and more. Download their content instantly at giftedandlit.com. Remember, that's giftedandlit.com.
The year is 2079. The futuristic nation of New Albion has been created to maintain a new racial apartheid system. There is a planned genocide that is going to target the nation's black population. A small group of black revolutionaries band together to launch guerrilla warfare attacks against their oppressors. Do they fail, or do they succeed? Find out the answer by reading the book, Avoid the Machines, the new novel by author Scotty Vasco. Avoid the Machines, now available on Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com.
You are now tuning into the legendary Tariq Nasheed.
I gave him the blood on that bridge in Selma.
On Tariq Radio.
I said, whoever threw that paper, your mom's a hoe.
We're back. What's going on, guys? Welcome, welcome, welcome back to Tariq Radio. Glad y'all tuning in, everybody. Be sure to hit that thumbs up button. Hit that like button, y'all. Hit that like button right now. Let everybody know that this thing is real. Let everybody pile on in the room. And we're on time. We're on time this week. A lot of stuff that we're going to touch on tonight. By the way, everybody, if you have not seen Hidden Colors 1 through 5, you need to go to hiddencolorsfilm.com and check that out. Also, y'all need to check out the Mink Slide album if you have not checked out Crushed Velvet. Crushed Velvet is like number 5 in Grenada. The country of Grenada, it's the number 5 album. It's kind of random. We looked that up and we're on the charts over there. We're in the charts in the UK. So the album is still doing great internationally. So you guys can, again, go to minkslide.com to get that if you do not have it. We're going to have another package sale. A lot of people keep requesting the package sales. They like when we bundle up everything and sell them at a discount for a limited period of time. They like the discount sales. We got another one coming up in June. We got another one coming up in June, and it's going to be a good one. We got a very good sale, a package bundle sale coming in June. I don't want to say what all is going to be in the package, but it's going to be some good stuff. It's going to be at the end of June. Okay? I'm going to let y'all know that now. So y'all better be ready. And this is the thing. We're only going to sell 2,000 of them. We can't do like last time, just sell an indefinite number. That it gets crazy. So what we're going to do so that we can get them all out to everybody really within a week. The last time it took us like 3 months to get all of the packages out because so many people ordered at the last minute. So, and then the Corona thing happened. So we were rotating employees. It was a whole big thing. So like I said, this one is going to be a good one. It's going to only be 2,000. We're only sending 2,000 packages out. So it's going to be first come, first serve. It'll probably be sold out in the first day. So this is why I'm giving everybody a heads up now. This is why I'm giving everybody a heads up now. The sale is coming and I will announce what's going to be in the sale in a couple of weeks. It's going to be a good one. It is going to be a good one. Any fart, a lot of stuff going on. Today's topic, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about if it ain't black, it's whack. Black people, especially my foundation of Black Americans, we're going to have to learn how to get in the habit of not being afraid to say black. Our brother Claude Anderson has been trying to get black folks on that for 40 something years, and it's still not clicking the way it should click. Black folks have this thing where we don't want to offend white people. That's a problem. We have to get off this thing where we're worried about offending white people. And we know black people, if we say black, white folks are going to get uncomfortable. So we have to water the blackness down. Well, as a minority, well, as a person of color, niggas are saying that to make white people feel comfortable. When I hear people use these terms, I'm thinking, okay, this nigga is compromised psychologically. When people are afraid to offend white people just by acknowledging who you are, this is a person who don't really want any type of empowerment. These are niggas who are low-key looking for a job and acceptance or some damn non-black sexual relations. Family, we have to stop apologizing and stop watering down our blackness. I know that blackness is being targeted because black people are targeted educationally, militarily, financially. I mean, we're targeted all the time because of the blackness. So we feel like we have to water it down to be more acceptable to the white supremacists. And that's just not going to work. If it ain't black, it's whack. We have to stand strong on that blackness. We think, okay, if we water our blackness down and then have some pretend allies that you do not have, we think that some allies are going to come and somehow help us lift this load. That's never going to happen. Black folks, there are no allies. There are no minority friends. There are no people of color buddies. There is no black and brown coalition. It just doesn't exist. Let's let that go. It's time to deal with reality. Too many black people do things over and over that do not work. Too many black people do things that simply don't work. And we do things out of habit. We do things just to damn do them. That's what slaves did. Remember, on the plantations, black people didn't have a rhyme or reason for the most part. You just did what you were told and you wandered around and they told you to pick cotton. Okay, I guess I got to go pick it. All right, go shuck the corn. Okay, I go shuck the corn. Put some horseshoes on the horses. Okay, you just did what you were told. You didn't have to think. And in between being told what to do, you would come up with little coping mechanisms to entertain yourself. Let me learn how to play the banjo. Let me sing a couple of Negro spirituals. Now, some people use Negro spirituals to communicate messages. They got smart. And down in Brazil, some people learn how to use some of the dances to hide that capoeira they would use on the Portuguese and whoop their ass. But for the most part, black folks, we walk around just doing like we're told, waiting on instructions from white mommy and white daddy, while we mindlessly bump around, waddle around not knowing what to damn do or being afraid to do what we need to do. And see, we think that we're going to get somebody else to do some of the heavy lifting. See, the thing is, black folks, black people have been around for millions of years. We're very old people. And we've civilized the world. We've educated the world. We've done a lot for the world, for the planet. And after a while, you get kind of tired. So a lot of black folks have gotten this mentality. We'll just sit back and, yeah, we'll let the colonizers do all the heavy lifting. You know, it's kind of cool to kind of get the kickback. Yeah, we're subjugated. They get to kill us every now and then, but you know, we get a little Section 8. We get a little slave quarters. We don't have to worry about keeping society running. We get to get online and bullshit around and joke and on the weekend get a little drank, lay up, do a little twerking, get a little attention. And we let everybody else do the heavy lifting. We kind of got it made. We're like big children. See, we try to have the big child mentality, and that just doesn't work. We got to get out of the old child mentality, the childlike, let white mommy and white daddy take care of me. We got to get off that. And it's very bad now in this generation. This is why so many entertainers, you look at the music industry, look at it now as opposed to back in the golden era. Remember, in the golden era, the rappers' names reflected a godlike aura. Rakim. Knowledge reigned supreme over everyone. That's KRS-One. You understand? These were some of the names rappers would have. Big Daddy Kane. I'm a grown man. I'm a paternal figure, father figure. You had a rapper, Father MC. We had dominating masculine names. Now look at the names now. Look at what we have. Everybody is Lil This or Young That. See, what you call yourself, whatever you nickname yourself, that's how you are. That's how you view yourself on a subconscious level. How you name yourself, give yourself a nickname. This is how you view yourself on a subconscious level. Lil This, Lil Yachty, Young This, Young That, Young Soldier. Everything is young, 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 little, little, little. So a lot of cats are saying, and this is no disrespect to a lot of brothers, because I know a lot of rappers and I'm cool with a lot of rappers, but a lot of them on a subconscious level feel like they're grown children. Yeah, the rapper, and I like this rapper, DaBaby. I hate that brother's, I hate his rap name, by the way. DaBaby, I hate even calling a grown man DaBaby. And I know from what I understand, his name was supposed to be DaBaby Jesus, but then they changed it for some reason. But I hate calling a grown man DaBaby. And the brother's an incredible rapper, by the way. DaBaby is actually one of the best cats out right now. You dig? But we got Lil This, Lil That, DaBaby, the child, you know. And if this is how you view yourself, you're not going to be revolutionary minded. If this is how you view yourself, if you view yourself as a baby, as a child, as a young boy, and you got rappers, NBA young boy. I'm a young boy. I'm a child. So leave me alone. I'm not responsible. This is what people are saying on a subconscious level. I'm a baby. I'm a child. Be easy on me. And see, this is what our, and we're going back to the teachings of Dr. Welsing and Neely Fuller. In a system of white supremacy, they do not allow the black man to be a man in this system. This system designs it so that black men can be two things. You can either be a grown boy or you can be a substitute woman. So we don't have rappers out here with young boy, little boy, tiny boy, baby boy. We don't have the childlike names. What do you have? You have dudes in booty shorts, halter tops, tank tops with spaghetti straps. This is what we have. So in this system, we have to start thinking outside of it. We have to start getting into the mindset of running our own system. And how would that work? How would we act in a system that we're running? See, a lot of cats talk a good game, but they don't have any good strategies or good actions. See, a lot of cats be out here, we need our own nation. We need our own communities. We need our own country. We need to separate. You get a lot of brothers saying that. We need to run our own shit. We need our own nation. And the thing is, how are you going to run a nation? A lot of niggas can't even run your own household. Forget about running a business. A lot of cats ain't even running businesses. Cats ain't even running their own households out here. Let's keep it a buck. Some of this is gonna hit some people hard in the gut. Let's keep it real. Some of y'all niggas are living off your lady's Section 8. And you're comfortable with doing so. Some of y'all are on baby boy status, driving around in your lady's car, talking about we need to build a nation, and you driving around in a Nissan Altima with peaches on the license plate. No, nigga, you got to get up out of Peaches Section 8 apartment. It's time for the bullshit talk to stop. It's time for the bullshit talk to stop. Somebody in the chat room said that stung a little bit. I know some of y'all niggas right now are driving around in a Hyundai with a Nicki Minaj CD in the deck, and the car smells like lace front glue. Okay, I know it's hitting hard. I know it's hitting some of y'all. I know it's hitting you, but we need to talk real now. A lot of y'all up there laying up with Peaches. And you ain't really running the household. Peaches can make you bounce whenever she gets tired of you. So don't come talking about we need to get this nation popping. Whoa, what time is it? I gotta bring Peaches' car back. No, we can't build a nation, bruh. We got to get serious with action. Damn all the running of the mouths. Let's stop the running of the mouths. Because right now, we're in a very dangerous point right now. And like I said, black people, when we encounter these race soldiers, again, they're only getting more and more violent. Nobody's going to help us. We don't have any allies. None of these allies are helping us. And these white supremacists are getting more and more violent because they see there is no real pushback. It's starting a little bit down in Florida this week. You know, there was a lot of black people out and about, and the race soldiers tried to target a lot of black people as they skipped over the white people, as they what they're doing all over the country. So a lot of brothers did push back. They were hitting them with bottles. They were hitting the race soldiers with rocks. And the race soldiers started to act like victims. Oh, God, we were attacked. So it's only going to get worse. And there is no appealing to that. See, we think if we keep telling them how badly we're being treated, they're going to somehow find some compassion and stop. Black folks, I want y'all to understand how these white supremacists think, especially the race soldiers. They get jobs as race soldiers so that they can have a green light to come after us. But family, we have to understand there you can't appeal to some compassion with these folks because they look at us as a sport. I want y'all to really grasp that concept when you're dealing with these white supremacists. They look at going out and hunting and killing us, that's like a sport. That's like getting to kill an exotic animal. They get off on the fact that they can go out, orchestrate a kill and a hunt on us and get away with it, and the media and everybody is all in on it. Everybody is all on code. Look at what's going on with the brother down in Georgia who was lynched, Ahmaud Arbery. They lynched that brother. Now, the white media, they're releasing different videos of earlier interactions he had with police trying to create a narrative that he somehow deserved to be lynched. So they're all in on it. So, you know, them killing us, this is fun for them. This is like a hobby. It's like a sport. They like hunting and killing animals, but when you get to kill a human and they sit around and brag about it. Remember, Ahmaud Arbery, again, another thing with that story, the daughter of one of the race soldiers who killed him, the daughter was posting pictures of his dead body all on Snapchat. Did y'all hear about that? The daughter was posting pictures of Ahmaud Arbery dead on her Snapchat. So these folks had pictures and videos that they were circulating with each other, just getting off on this. But yeah, them getting to kill a human being with impunity, these people get off on that. Somebody in the chat room mentioned this. My brother Ice-T, he was in a movie in the 90s, and if you have not seen this movie, you should watch it. It's called Surviving the Game, where he plays a homeless man. These white people meet up with him. They meet him, and then they bring him to this cabin off in the middle of nowhere. I think they offer him money and all this, and he's homeless, so they bring him to this cabin, and then he realizes they wake him up and tell him to start running, and then they go hunting for him in the woods. Go look at that movie if y'all haven't seen it. Very good movie, Surviving the Game. He was a homeless black man, and they got him in the woods and told him to run, and these white men paid a whole gang of money to get to hunt him. They do shit like that for real. This is what's happening with us out here, family. Surviving the Game, that's the name of the movie. It's like a sport to them. This is why they get off on it so much. This is why they're sharing pictures of you getting killed. They get off on this. You can't appeal to that with compassion. There's only one way to stop that, and we all know the get down on that. Because I want y'all to understand this. You gotta get rid of the fearfulness, because black people, we're out here acting fearful, and fearfulness has not worked for us. We have to start being fearless. That's the only thing that's going to work, being fearless. We got to be fearless. Because being fearful, you still getting killed. Black folks are out here scared to do anything. People are beating your ass, beating up women. I don't want to see another video of a woman getting her ass beat. I saw a video today, some sister in St. Louis. The race soldier was beating her up. It was raining and it was a puddle of water. He was trying to drown the sister, pushing her head in the water. And there's a bunch of niggas standing around. That's a female. That's a female. That's wrong. It was so pathetic. I saw this video. This dude hollering out how wrong it was. That's wrong. You ain't supposed to do that. That's wrong. That's a female. The hell you think you're going to appeal to this race soldier's sense of compassion? They know what they're doing is wrong, but they've justified it. These people are demonic. It's like telling Satan, you wrong, Satan. You doing bad things, Satan. You evil. And they're looking at you like, yeah, I know. I'm a white supremacist. I do not want to see that. Just walk off. Just turn your back. It'll be more honorable just to walk off. Because filming, y'all think y'all, filming don't mean nothing, guys. Y'all, I got you on film beating on her. That's a female. These people don't care about you filming them. They got a whole police union that's going to protect them. The media is going to protect them, and they know this. This is why they're being bold about it. Just walk off if y'all got to do all that. If you're not going to stop the shit and make some shit happen, just walk off. I don't want to hear. I really don't want to see videos of that. That's too pathetic. That's just pathetic. And threatening them, I'm going to post this on the Facebook. They don't give a shit. You understand? Got to start being fearless. Fearful ain't really working. Being fearful is not working at all. And we got to understand, family, what's going on now. It's a very pivotal moment for systematic white supremacy. This is really their last stand, guys. This is white supremacy's last stand. You know, empires that the white supremacists that they've created, they've all fallen and they never come back. See, our brother John Henry Clark would teach us that black people, we've had civilizations, they would fall and then we would start another civilization. We would have different golden ages. In Kemet, there was a golden age in Kemet. of grand blackness. Then there was the fall of it. Then in West Africa, that great Mali Empire, the Ghana Empire, all of these, the Songhai, all of these big West African empires that were thriving that people don't talk about. The Moorish Empire in Spain that people don't talk about. See, we fall, black folks, we fall and rise up. We get it together. It might take a century or two or whenever. But we know how to bring the shit back. But with them, they fall off. Just like Rome. When Rome fell off, Rome never came back. When Greece fell off, Greece never came back. I was just in Greece a year ago. Greece is like a big fucking ghetto right now. It never came back. You understand? When you look around Europe, and I've talked about this before, when you look around Europe and nobody's creating economic sabotage upon Europe, whereas in Africa, Africa's being sabotaged by Western powers, but Europe, nobody's sabotaging them, and half of Europe is a fucking ghetto. Half of Europe is a big goddamn meth den ghetto. Some of y'all don't know that. Y'all don't really travel like that. Yeah, Turkey, Russia, some of these places are ghetto as hell. Dilapidated ass places. Broke ass white people. You understand? Musty as hell. Hell, Ireland ain't really popping like that. I went to the Ireland airport. Nigga, that shit looked like Soul Plane. Or worse. That airport was real shabby up there in Ireland. Let me not talk too bad about the UK over there because they've already banned me. So let me chill. It's not popping over there like y'all think it is. Why y'all think the mail order brides all over there? Y'all think there's mail order brides in the Philippines and in Asia over there, especially in Eastern Europe. You got a lot of them slinging some of that online pussy. They slinging it too. Trying to get a come up. Yeah? So we got to understand the game out here. This is their last stand. So this great empire that foundational black Americans were the basis of, you know, they wanted to make it a white supremacist land, but now their numbers are dwindling so that they know they're going to be a minority here within a couple of decades. And they understand if they lose the power here, it's really a wrap. If they lose power here, it's really a wrap for systematic white supremacy globally. So this is why they're making these desperate moves right now. They're very desperate right now. That's why we gotta be on our P's and Q's. Dealing with these folks. Because the thing is, us out here begging and praying, see, we're not going to have that kind of deal. See, a lot of folks think, okay, let me get slave ready. Let me just bow down and just get ready to be another slave again. You know, slavery ain't so bad. You know, I get to lay around mommy and white daddy, and his slavery won't be too bad. And now what they're trying to do is exterminate. They're trying to liquidate people just like they did in Nazi Germany. But instead of putting you in concentration camps, they did what they did, like Stalin did. When Stalin did the Holodomor, they made the Ukraine a prison within itself. They wouldn't let certain people out. They wouldn't let people in certain areas. They would starve them right where they were and kill millions and millions and millions of Ukrainians. This was in the 1930s. They're like, damn, all that building facilities to take people to. No. We'll just, hell, we'll cut off the entrance points and the exit points, and people can't leave. People can't come in. The trains won't be able to bring in food. We'll just starve them right here and just bury them. Let's just save us a little money. You understand? And always ask people about Nazi Germany. What should the Nazis, what should the victims of the Nazis, what should they have done in Nazi Germany when 6 million people were killed and they knew people were getting killed? What should they have done? The problem was they waited till the last minute to really fight back. A lot of them waited really till the last minute to fight back. A lot of people just kind of obediently went along with the damn program. And what they should have done when those Nazis started rounding people up, they should have started making an offensive to target those Nazi soldiers in their homes. That's what they should have done. They should have started going after them one by one. They should have started going into some guerrilla warfare shit and going after each Nazi, just finding them, hunting them down. They got that movie Inglourious Basterds that's about hunting Nazis. See, people are playing Monday morning quarterback now. They should have been doing that then. That's the only way they could have stopped that. They could have saved millions of people by going to them damn Nazis. Going to their homes, bringing the fight to them damn Nazis. That would have stopped all those millions of people from getting hit. That would have stopped many of those people from getting killed. They should have took the fight to them. That's what they did in Haiti, remember. That's how Haiti got them French off their ass. Remember, the Haitians took the fight to them and put the white supremacist on defense. Yeah? And understand about Haiti, our brother Toussaint Louverture, the grave mistake he made, he thought that there was going to be some type of compassion with the French, and he still tried to do business with the French. See, he tried to be diplomatic with the white supremacists who were brutally enslaving the black people in Haiti. Toussaint Louverture made a grave mistake. He went to meet up with some of those French. They kidnapped him and took him over there overseas, and then they starved him to death. He started trusting them too much because, see, Toussaint Louverture, he grew up with a compassionate white slave master. His slave master was a little more compassionate than some of the more brutal ones, and he kind of felt a way about the white people there. He had a little bit of that all white people ain't bad juice in his system, and that was to his detriment. Whereas one of the other leaders, Henri Christophe of the Haitian Revolution, when one of the French generals, Leclerc, summons Henri Christophe for a meeting, Henri Christophe did not do what Toussaint did. Toussaint went there by himself thinking that there was going to be some type of military respect between the men, and they played him and hemmed him up. Christophe didn't fall for that trick. When they said, "Christophe, come through, we want to have a meeting with you," Christophe showed up with 3,000 soldiers who surrounded the building. He showed up to Leclerc's place, surrounded the building with 3,000 troops. Then Henri Christophe went in there and said, "Yeah, what you want to talk about? Because it damn sure ain't going to be no kidnapping today. We'll slaughter every one of you bitches up in here. We got to stop playing games with these folks. You understand? The only time you thrive is when you stop playing games with these goddamn white supremacists. And stop running around thinking that there are going to be some type of allies that's going to help you. See, we got on that ally bullshit really in the 1960s, to be honest. We're going to be very honest with that whole ally minority coalition. Remember, man, for a long time during the Jim Crow era, black people were very self-sufficient. We had our own thing. We had our own businesses. So we didn't really have an option to have allies. And plus, it was only what, white people here. So there were no other people of color. No. We didn't have all these fake little liberal names that was out and about now. It was white people allowed and you niggas can't come here. There were no buffer classes like that. So we knew we had to really do for ourselves. And when we knew we had to do for ourselves without all these bullshit allies, these fake buffer class niggas that don't really do anything, these other con game groups, we did pretty well for ourselves. We had our own baseball leagues, basketball leagues, industries, neighborhoods that we pretty much controlled. We were self-sustained. And let me tell you this, by the way. Black folks were not being attacked in those self-sustained communities during Jim Crow. For the most part, black people would get fucked up and lynched when they went outside of their communities. They would always catch black folks slipping outside of their communities, way off in some rural place somewhere. Whenever you see brothers get lynched, it was always some little old rural place all off in the cut somewhere. Because see, we knew we had to depend on each other. We had to depend on ourselves. There were no fake allies that were going to help us. But then in the 1960s, we fell for the con game, the ally con game. And if we're going to be very honest, a lot of that started, unfortunately, with Dr. King. That we're going to put on the cape for all these other groups and all these immigrants. A lot of that, unfortunately, started with Dr. King. And let me tell you something. When people talk about the March on Washington as the beginning of a great start, let me tell you something. We're going to have to be honest about the March on Washington. Family, the March on Washington was the beginning of the end for our empowerment. The March on Washington was the beginning of the end of black empowerment in this country. That put a big dent in the game. They try to portray the March on Washington now as some type of major victory. Nothing came out of the March on Washington. You know, they had Dr. King up there, John Lewis up there. Listen, the Kennedy Foundation funded a lot of these black civil rights groups. When they found out and when they saw that there was going to be a big march on Washington, the Kennedy Foundation started throwing money at these little Negro civil rights organizations. They started dangling the money at these Boule groups. So John Lewis, all these folks, they were getting money from the Kennedy Foundation. It was like $1 million. They were spreading among each other, all these different civil rights groups. And one of the rules was, okay, y'all don't say anything too radical. That was one of the rules. So they're dangling that money on niggas, letting them know, don't get too crazy because we'll snatch this money back. So what did they do? We all in this together, black boys, white girls. I got a dream, black kids, black girls, we all in this together. It was all this minority coalition talk. White folks went in there and infiltrated that shit. That was a, we're all in this together march. That's all it was. It was a, we are all in this together march. And again, the white supremacists knew we got to co-opt this thing, because when the civil rights movement started, really, well, the modern version of it, when it started in the late 50s, and remember, the civil rights movement has been going on for even long before that, but the modern incarnation that we see with Dr. King and Malcolm and all these people, that really got started in the 50s. And why did it pop off the way it popped off? Number one, television was a new thing. Remember, in the 50s, television was new. So now people all over the country and the world could see what was going on with black people, and seeing other black people like Malcolm and Dr. King and all these other people speaking out against that. So this was the first time the mistreatment of black people was going all out into the world. And it was getting black people around the country on code. That's why people were turning the hell up. You understand? And the white allies came in and co-opted a lot of these Negroes. So they never really talked too much about black empowerment. Everything was about minorities. Let's help the immigrants. They were talking that shit back then. And absolutely nothing has changed. They started that during the March on Washington. They said, okay, if they're going to get together, let's start throwing money on them so they can start talking about other issues besides black empowerment. And it has worked like a charm, and they have not stopped doing it. They even use the same people. They got John Lewis still doing it. This is why John Lewis is so symbolically great to them. They love bringing him out. He was the one who they helped get started with this bullshit. That's why they got John Lewis still doing it. He's been doing the exact same thing. And they figure, hell, this shit works, so why change it? So what do? They get the same Boulay groups. They say, let's double down on it. This shit worked like a charm. We got all these black folks together. We didn't have to compromise anything. We didn't have to give up no power. They just wanted to let off a little steam. We got the leaders, we paid them to talk about other issues that we could use against black society. Oh, this was a great thing. Let's do more of that. Let's get the Congressional Black Caucus popping. They started that in the 1970s. They like, let's just keep doing this shit year round. Let's get a whole bunch of immigrant Negroes and put them in these organizations and have them talk about non-issues. And black folks want to see a black face, so we'll just, hell, let's give them a black face, but we'll give them a black face who's going to be doing our bidding. Again, they haven't changed on this. This is why they keep talking about Joe Biden is going to get a black woman and all this stupid shit that don't mean nothing. They're doing the same thing. They have not changed that playbook whatsoever. On Joy Reid's show the other day, it was Joy Reid and a whole bunch of non-foundational immigrant women on there talking about black women need to vote. They had the chick, Alicia Garza, whatever her name is, from Black Lives Matter, who has a white dad, by the way. They had Amanda Seals, who's Grenadian, who's always representing that bullshit. You had all these negresses on here, these tethers, talking about immigration and talking about all this stupid shit about how black women need to go out and vote and the Democrats this and the Democrats that, talking that same dumb shit. And I really take a grave offense to that, because the white supremacists get these non-foundational black American immigrant or anchor baby mammies. And many of these women, remember, not too long ago, these same anchor baby mammies were going out of their way to differentiate themselves from black American women. Not too long ago, and some of y'all remember this, these women would go out of their way. If you call them black, they would correct you. I'm not black, I'm Ethiopian. I'm not black, I'm Ghanaian. I'm not black, I'm Jamaican. I've heard niggas say that. I've heard niggas say that out of their mouths. I'm not black, I'm Jamaican. I'm not black, I'm Trinidadian. You got people out here, I'm Caribbean and black. They would go out of their way to differentiate themselves from black American women, especially those Caribbean and African women. The coon section of them, by the way. They still do it too. Somebody in the chat room said they still do it. They still do it. Yes, they do. They just do it in private now. See, they used to do it more openly, but then they realized, wait a minute. I can get some of those set-asides that foundational black Americans fought for, so let me go out here and blacken it up a little bit. As a matter of fact, we'll go out here and just act like the representatives for black people. Black women, we need immigration too. You know, they come out and try to be the representatives, and then they come out and try to create little battle of the sexes with foundational black American men and women. They come and try to play that game. Black women are the base of the Democrats. See, that's some divide and conquer shit that those anchor babies be trying to do. I want y'all to notice that. All that divide and conquer between black men and black women, 99% of the people who try to do that shit are these damn immigrant coon mammies. They'd be the main ones doing that. They're the main ones running around talking about, well, the toxic masculinity in black society. And they're talking about black America. They ain't talking about the fucking pedophiles in your Caribbean country. Y'all not talking about all that bussy motherfuckers out there selling and molesting kids and all that shit in those Caribbean countries. Y'all ain't talking about that. They come over here and try to demonize us with that divide and conquer man versus black woman bullshit. You understand? Oh, somebody said the Belizeans in LA. Oh, they good for that. LA is full of Belizeans. They'll let you know I am not black, I'm Belizean. You dang? But we have to watch these tethers. We have to watch these tethers. Because they're very good at playing that divide and conquer thing, and then they blacken it up when they realize they can get some goodies and some set-asides that supposed to be for us, but we sat up here on this minority coalition. And let me tell you something. They're the main ones pushing the black and brown. Whenever you hear a lot of people talking about black and brown and they're black, it's a lot of those Caribbean coons and mammies, because again, them saying black and brown, in their heart, they can say, well, shit, I'm brown. Because the Hispanics ain't brown. They're classified as white. So these Caribbean coons, they're in their minds, well, shit, I'm brown and that nigga black. I ain't black like him. So saying black and brown is a way for these Caribbean coons to not own up to the blackness that's equal to black Americans. It's a real deep psychological game that these fools play, man. It's a real heavy thing. They love people of color talk. They love minority talk, because then they don't have to say they're black. I want you to really take a good look at the people who talk that black and brown people of color shit. It's a motherfucker whose grandma then came from Trinidad or somewhere like that. They love that black and brown shit and minority, and I'm a person of color, so they can't identify with being black like us. Remember that show, Bob and Abacine or whatever that show was? Remember the shit they were saying about black women on that show? These African coonettes were up there talking about black American women are baby mamas. Baby mamas. These folks have contempt and vitriol for foundational black American women. So I get offended when they sit up and try to act as the representatives of foundational black American women. I really take offense to that, because these, well, y'all don't have the spirit like these sisters did. You don't have that Ida B. Wells spirit. Ida B. Wells would never do some of the shit that these mammies get on TV and do. Kissing white ass, sucking white balls, talking about all these other issues. And another thing I don't like, what these foreign mammies do, they sit up and demonize black men left and right, black American men. But when a black man gets killed, they ride the wave and exploit that shit. Oh, Aubrey, we got a jog for Aubrey. Now you done sat up here talking about toxic masculinity, black men ain't shit. Now that Aubrey got killed, we're gonna jog for Aubrey. And Aubrey getting killed, that's just like the gay community. That's like violent homophobia too. You know, violence is bad all around. This is why we're going to have some tangibles for the LGBT community too, because I'm not just black. I'm a black stud, and I'm an intersectional. They play that game. They did that. Remember the whole Black Lives Matter crowd, those immigrant mammies. They were riding the Mike Brown wave and then getting out there having twerk contests. They would talk about, I can't breathe and hands up, don't shoot. And then all of a sudden, they would co-opt it and start talking about bussy issues and all of this other shit that ain't got nothing to do with nothing. This is why the people of St. Louis ran them niggas up out of there with that shit. You think? Yeah, we got that. A lot of these folks, these tethers who try to basically do performative blackness, it's not really authentic. Notice that these niggas, their blackness is very performative. It's all over the top, and they engage in a lot of these goofball stereotypes. It's just not authentic. You can tell. I can be around certain people and tell, okay, this ain't no goddamn foundation of Black American. I can feel their energy and I can feel their vibe and tell something's going on with you. You ain't one of us. Look at the show Insecure. Now, this season of Insecure is trash as far as I'm concerned. And I try to give this show the benefit of the doubt. Anything black on television, I try to give it the benefit of the doubt. But I'm looking at this season now, and this season is very dry. They do a lot of, it's kind of corny. They do what I call performative blackness. They basically seem like they try to imitate foundational Black Americans, and you can feel the insincerity of it. You can feel the inauthenticity of it. You can feel it. Even the forced slang, you can feel it. Yeah? Foundational Black Americans, we got a certain swag we carry. There's a certain way we get down, especially foundational Black American women. I can feel your vibes. There's certain things, a certain way we get down. You understand? So we got to watch out for these people who act as tethers. Now, I know there are people, whenever you start calling all of these other tethers out for their bullshit, all of a sudden, but Tariq, we all black. We came from the same slave shit. We start talking all that. See, when we start talking about what we're going to do to focus on foundational Black Americans, we're not trying to negate anybody. It's hold your own nuts time. That's all it is. Right now, we're prioritizing foundational Black Americans because we have not done that. We've let everybody step on top of us and we've remained invisible, and that shit is going to stop. If it ain't black, it's whack. And I'm talking about foundational Black Americans first, and then we'll get to the other blackness later. Because there's too many other people who's supposed to be black, who want to be a person of color. Well, go be a person of color over there. Too many niggas who's supposed to be black, you want to be a minority. Well, go be a minority over there. But we're not going to carry you. But Nareen, why are you hating on immigrants? Nobody's hating on immigrants. Stop projecting your own coon mentality. Because these foreign coons love projecting their bullshit. Again, I've been to all of these countries in the African diaspora and the Caribbean, and most of the brothers and sisters, they are pretty cool, but there is a coon class that they just happen to allow over here. That's who I'm talking about. I'm talking about the coon class in your culture, the Sambo class in your culture. You getting called out. We can't have these coons and mammies over here acting as tethers, undermining us every chance they get. Why we gotta hold our own nuts? Hell, Marcus Garvey shut up before you even start. They love trying to bring Marcus Garvey out their ass. Please, let me tell y'all something. If you are a Caribbean coon and you know if you're a coon or not, stop fixing your mouth to speak on Marcus Garvey. They love trying to pull Marcus Garvey out their ass. Like I said before, Marcus Garvey failed in the Caribbean and in Jamaica. In fact, if Marcus Garvey was alive today, he would still fail in Jamaica based on the mentality there. They created too many people of color buffer classes in the Caribbean, and that shit has worked on niggas' minds out there. Stop talking about Marcus Garvey. The Jamaicans were not fucking with Marcus Garvey when he was alive. I really wish folks understand that. Now you go over there, Marcus Garvey's school, this is Marcus Garvey's grave. It's a Marcus Garvey tourist attraction. People weren't fucking with Marcus Garvey like that, guys. Over there in these little cake soap pockets, they were not fucking with Marcus Garvey when he was alive. Family, he could not get the Pan-African movement started over there. Nobody was biting. That's why he had to come over here. Black folks had to get down with him and fund him. He got his success with black people in America. Foundational black Americans were the ones who propped up Marcus Garvey, because we saw how devious these white supremacists were. We didn't have no buffer classes over here in Jamaica. They started having them damn buffer classes, those Coleys, all that other shit. They had those mulatto buffer classes that were treated a little different by white society. So niggas wanted to attain to be part of that buffer class. So they did a real big psychological game on a lot of black folks out there in the Caribbean. That's why Marcus Garvey couldn't get shit popping out there. But we didn't have that, and we still don't have no buffer classes over here. We funded Marcus Garvey. Let me tell you something. Like John Henry Clark said, about 20% of the people, some of Garvey's soldiers with the UNIA over here, about 20% of them were damn near all on the damn payroll of the FBI. Those were Caribbeans. A lot of the Caribbean foot soldiers with the UNIA, those Caribbean cats, most of them were on the FBI payroll. Now, there was one or two. They had one, James Wormley. I think he might have been a Foundational Black American. He was one of the first agents for the FBI, because that was the FBI's first assignment, was to go after Marcus Garvey. That was their first assignment. But let's keep it a buck. A lot of folks don't know this shit. A lot of the people with UNIA over here were Caribbean, and them niggas was on the payroll of the FBI working against Marcus Garvey. Remember, Marcus Garvey ended up getting deported. They had to trump up all types of charges on him. And when he went back to Jamaica, he still couldn't get shit popping in Jamaica. That's why he bounced. Remember, he went back to Jamaica and they still weren't fucking with him after all of his global success. As a matter of fact, when he went to Jamaica, when he got deported back to Jamaica, he ran for office out there and against a white man and lost. There was a white man named George Seymour Jones. Look that up. So anytime the Jamaicans try to talk about, damn, Garvey, our brother Garvey, we gave you Garvey. No, don't you fix your mouth to say that. Now, look, we're going to tell some truth today. Look up George Seymour Jones. It was a white man living in Jamaica. Garvey ran against him and lost. And he left. Garvey said, fuck this. That's why Garvey just left Jamaica and went to Britain. He was like, these niggas on some bullshit out here. Garvey left Jamaica. He was through with Jamaica. I don't know what these niggas are on. Let's tell the truth. Garvey got the fuck out of Jamaica. Foundational Black Americans gave the world Garvey. Y'all ain't taking credit for that. And Garvey left that country in disgust. So don't ever let them throw Garvey in your damn face. Garvey wasn't a reflection of you. And we do got some riders out there, but let's be real. Garvey was not a reflection of you. Let's keep this thing a buck. Foundation of Black Americans, we've always really been about that shit. We've always been about it. Because look, Foundation of Black Americans, we're really the only black people in the world in the last 500 years. Foundation of Black Americans, we have built some thorough institutions on our own. You understand? On our own, we've built some thorough institutions consistently. We had several black Wall Streets. Tulsa was just one that we built on our own. Let's be very clear that we built these things on our own. We're the only black people on the planet who has done that in the last few centuries. People over in the African countries can't say that because they get help from China. They were colonized, so it was the colonizers building a lot of that shit. I'm talking about being self-sufficient 100%. We built our own baseball leagues. Remember, the Negro Leagues was making just as much money as the major leagues because more people wanted to come see those black players. Dick Gregory put me up on that game. I don't know why they gave that shit up. And that was creating a whole cottage industry with black coaches, black doctors, black vendors. Overtown had a place that they called the Black Harlem. It was thriving, a black neighborhood over there in Overtown. Thriving over there out here in LA. Central Avenue was a thriving location. All these black hotels and all these black businesses, self-sufficient. Foundational Black Americans, we've been consistent in being able to be self-sufficient and build industries, even though we've been sabotaged. We do it and it gets torn down. We do it and it gets torn down, but we've been very consistent. Every time we do something, we get sabotaged and we have to dust ourselves off and do the shit again. Speaking of Miami, how many of y'all remember Yahweh Ben Yahweh? It was a brother over there, Yahweh Ben Yahweh. And this brother quietly had like hundreds of millions of dollars in property down there in Miami. I'm talking about hundreds of millions of dollars. Quietly. Yahweh Ben Yahweh, they had to put his ass in jail. He died not too long ago. They put Yahweh Ben Yahweh in jail and told him, you can't even do no more public speaking, nigga. I don't know what you saying to people, but you can't do no more public speaking. You done snuck around and put all this little money together. You did? So yeah, we've been very consistent. See, that's why we've been a big threat. So we've always had to do things on our own. We've always had to put things together on our own and make things happen. And, you know, the white supremacists try to minimize it. You know, our brother Little Richard, he died. He died last week. And I saw I think it was the New York Times and the New York Post. They put up a very disrespectful little article saying that Little Richard, the self-proclaimed architect of rock and roll, has died. These white supremacists are so slick, they can't give you props even in death. They gotta throw one little dig in. They gotta throw one last dig in right before you die. Oh, hell, right before they bury you. You already died. The self-proclaimed architect. He was the architect of this. Who else was really doing it before him? The way Little Richard put the game together, nobody was doing it like him. Very disrespectful. Little Richard was the template for Elvis. He was on the same label as Elvis, as a matter of fact, but they put Little Richard on the black subsidiary label that was the same label as Elvis. So they basically had Elvis do cheap imitations of Little Richard. Ring? So we gotta understand that it's important for us to be, to continue to be self-sufficient, and don't let anybody act like they brought something to us and gave us anything. Nobody gave us nothing. Just like Little Richard said, ain't nobody ever gave me nothing. I remember, y'all remember when Little Richard was in the media? That's why they low-key don't like Little Richard, because Little Richard was showing out on the media back in the day. Some of y'all too young to remember, but back in the late 80s and early 90s, Little Richard, every time he get in front of a camera, he go off on the whole industry. Y'all ain't never gave me nothing. I started this. Y'all done robbed me. Everybody done stole from me. Little Richard would call their asses out every time he get in front of a camera. They bring him to an award show. He give an award. And the winner is, by the way, y'all ain't never gave me nothing. Y'all giving them an award. Y'all ain't never gave me nothing. He would go off on their ass all the time. Michael Jackson ended up giving him his publishing back, by the way. Michael Jackson ended up looking out for him. You dig? But like I said, we got to be self-sufficient. We got to stop being afraid of being self-sufficient. See, all y'all niggas laying up in Peach's house. We got to be self-sufficient. And also, we got to understand the military occupation that we are in. And we got to know how to handle that better. I'm tired of looking at videos. Family, another thing. I've been seeing so many videos of brothers getting hemmed up by race soldiers. And brothers are just standing out here doing the same shit. You talking yourself into a case. Like Neely Fuller said, and even what Khalid Muhammad said, when you get caught by one of these race soldiers, you are behind enemy lines. Stop doing all that damn talking. I really, 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 really want brothers to stop talking so much when these race soldiers catch you behind enemy lines. When they pull up on you, brother, you are at a grave disadvantage. So all that fucking talking niggas are doing, that's just going to make it worse. You're supposed to act like you are a prisoner of war. Keep your mouth shut when they catch you. You are at a disadvantage. They got you behind enemy lines. I see video after video. I saw a video today somebody sent me. This brother, the cop walked up on him. The cop said he peed on the ground. And I didn't pee. What you talking about? What's that puddle right there? Oh, man, I need to see your chief. And the cop is like, you know, you need to calm down. No, you need to calm down. You messing with me? Leave me alone. I ain't. And the cop is like, okay, stand over there. I ain't going to stand over there. Y'all keep walking into these traps. Oh, I wish y'all stopped doing that. Brothers, stop doing that shit. Well, listen, you're going to be arrested. You ain't going to arrest me the minute you say that. That's a case right there, fool. Y'all be smart about this shit. The minute you say you ain't going to arrest me, they got a charge on you. Don't let these race soldiers egg you on to get a charge on you. You falling for the trap. They're trapping your ass into getting charges. The minute you ain't going to do nothing to me. Nigga, that's resisting. Keep your mouth shut. When they catch you, I didn't do what you said I did, and I would talk to a lawyer. I will only speak with the assistance of a lawyer. I do not agree to a search. That's all you really gotta say. All that, you ain't gonna do nothing to me. You can't, you think you're going to talk shit? Your shit talking is going to back it up? This person is sitting up here backed up by the military. You talking about what they ain't going to do? You dig? They already got you. You better be smart about this shit. I say, look, I talked to a lawyer. If you think I did a crime over here, well, I will have to talk to a lawyer. I will talk to you through a lawyer, because now you sound like you're trying to entrap me. And I don't want to be entrapped, so I will only speak to a lawyer. This is my name. But I will only talk to a lawyer. I've identified myself, but I'll only talk to a lawyer. Just keep it cool. I don't submit to a search. Well, you look like you robbed a store. I didn't, but if you want to talk about that, we'll have to talk to my lawyer. If you think I did a crime, we'll talk to my lawyer. Because see, they know that you didn't do anything. That's why they're trying to get you all emotionally riled up. They know you didn't commit no crime, but they know if they keep accusing you of shit, you're going to be emotional. Wait a minute, I didn't steal nothing out of no goddamn Walmart. I don't even live near Walmart, man. Hell no. Stop. Stop it. Be smart about shit, guys. Calm the fuck down. You in a war. Stop all that emotional shit. You in a war with these folks. Act like you're in a war. And all that yelling and screaming and all that, that's not going to help you. And another thing is not going to help you. All that damn swirling and bedwinching and mammying, that's not going to help you either. Did y'all hear about the case? I posted this up earlier. This woman, this black woman, she looks like she could be an immigrant because she has on a real tacky wig. And the woman is dead. I don't want to really speak bad on the dead. But she's dating this. She was, quote unquote, married to this white woman. She was in a lesbian marriage. And her white wife, 48-year-old wife, and she was 32. And again, she looks like, the way her wig looked, and it's like a, you know, it was an immigrant wig, but they lived in Jersey, and this white wife ended up killing her. She bludgeoned her with a bottle or some shit, and the white wife was just on the internet gushing over their relationship. See, y'all stud wenches think that it's gonna be all gravy too, laying up with the suspected white supremacists, thinking that you're going to be on some intersectionality shit. I told y'all the other day, whenever you see these bedwinch type of relationships, these women out here with Zaddy, normally you'd never see them grow old together. These people, and I'm talking to the bedwinches out here, see, you think you figured it out. You think, okay, I'm smarter than all these other niggas. I'm gonna sit up here and have sexual relations with white mommy and white daddy and let these other plantation Negroes suffer. No, they're just having plantation sex with you. You're not gonna get any of the tangibles and resources. They make sure they don't pass them shits down to you. This is why y'all be in relationships with these white folks, and then the next thing you know, they done dump you or your ass done died. You're supposed to be in a marriage. Every single, oh, damn near, so many of these bedwinch relationships, the bedwinches end up getting killed. And I don't say that to minimize anybody's death, but these folks are on code. And one part of the code of white supremacy is to never pass down inherited wealth to no damn black person. You think you're going to sit your black ass up there around some white people and just kind of bide your time, and they're gonna pass them resources down when they croak? Nah, they too on code for that. They know better. Look at Robert De Niro. He's old. He could die any day now. He got rid of that black wife, didn't he? He was with that black wife for years, and he got rid of her. He ain't passing nothing down to her. He ain't passing that generational wealth down to her. Stacey Dash ain't getting nobody's generational wealth. Bouvet, whatever her name is, she ain't getting nobody's generational wealth. But the thing is, let me tell you something. If one of these sisters are papered up, notice how they all be having to pay some damn child support to a white man. They got to pay alimony to a white man. They make sure that they get your little money. Look at Halle Berry, got to pay money to these white boys. That comedian, Aisha Tyler, she had to pay alimony to a white man. Look at that. They sure make sure you pass down your little black ass resources. Yeah, black folks pass them resources down to the white people. They don't do it in reverse. They do not do it in reverse. Fam, let me tell you something. The whole concept of marriage licenses were just for that purpose. They created the concept of marriage licenses so that generational wealth and inherited wealth could not be passed down to black people, particularly black women. That's why they created marriage licenses, because they didn't want a white man who was off code to fuck around and get pussy whooped and end up marrying a negress and then passing off his generational wealth to some negress who's going to fund a lot of other black people. See, they didn't want to have that. In the 1920s, that's when they created marriage licenses. Before the 1920s, you didn't need a marriage license. You would have to get like a certificate from the church or something like that, but you didn't actually need a license to get married. So they started to require a license to get married so that they could deny certain people to get a license. If you didn't have a license, you couldn't get married. And they want to say, okay, who's getting married? A negress and a white man? License denied. Well, let me take a look at her. You say she's white, but let's look at her hair. They would do little shit like that. Well, that hair looks a little nappy. Marriage denied. We don't want you to have a throwback baby in here. She got some nigger relatives. You die and that money goes to her and she's funding her nigger relatives somewhere. Look that up. That's the only reason they got marriage licenses, to stop white men from potentially marrying black women and passing any type of generational wealth down. Because remember, there's a lot of white men who were getting pussy whooped back then. And a lot of sisters were using hoodoo on these damn white men. There was a sister named Hannah Elias in the early 1900s. It was a black woman who lived, she moved to New York, but this black woman was finessing all of these white men. She was like a socialite. And she was finessing white men, seducing their ass, and they was giving this black woman millions of dollars. It was a real big case about her up there in New York. This woman had a mansion on Park Avenue. And she was breaking these white dudes. And they were like, wait, this bitch is stealing or something. What is she doing? Can we do something about her? They couldn't do nothing about her. They couldn't do anything because she wasn't doing anything illegal. She wasn't tricking them. And they were bringing the white men in court, and the white man was all pussy whooped. They were like, well, I gave her this money on my own. So she was out here finessing them. And they were like, well, she's using hoodoo. She's an enchantress. These were some of the words they were using about her in the media. An enchantress. A voodoo priestess. She must be using some of the devil's magic on this motherfucker. You know? So after that case going into the 1920s, they were like, look, we're going to have to stop this. We can't have white men potentially marrying women like that, getting whooped and giving people all that money. This black woman sitting up here on Park Avenue. No, we're going to have to stop that type of shit. Yeah, just like Sunshine and Harlem Nights, them white men would get pussy whooped by them sisters. Remember back then, these little frail, hungry, musty white women were not the business. They really were not the business. See, you didn't have plastic surgeons and all that shit back then. You didn't have Botox all that back then. So these white men had to go home to some haggard, witch-looking white woman. So this is why they would have these black mistresses. They would go down to the red light district all the time. White men were hungry for black pussy back then. And now, too, by the way. And now. But really back then, this is with white women, they can go and get a little Botox, get some lip fillers. They can kind of fix themselves up. Now, they didn't have that back then. So the white women by the time they hit the age of 25, they were looking a mess. But these white men still wanted to have white kids. So they needed a white facilitator to facilitate those kids. But they still needed some of that black plantation action. That's why all those whorehouses and brothels popped up in red light districts, and all those pimps popped up in the early 1900s. There was a big wave of pimps coming through. The game was heavy back in the day. The game was real heavy. But see, later on, when technology caught up and white women can alter their bodies a little bit, get a little ass, get some tits, and get some lips, white men, okay, you ain't that bad. We'll hold on a little bit. You know? So that's why. And again, these white supremacists are on code. They do not pass money down. They don't pass no generational wealth down. But with black folks, especially black men, they make black men are passing down generational wealth. Like the Kardashians, they ain't got to work ever again. Hell, they don't even have to spend their own money. The whole Kardashian family, they can just live off the residuals for all the niggas that they done fucked. All the residuals are going to the Kardashian family. Travis Scott, my man Tiger's my nigga. I fuck with Tiger. Tiger's residuals are Well, no, he didn't have a baby by then. No, he didn't have a baby. He had a baby by Black China. So not Tyga. So Tyga, you good. But Travis Scott, Tristan Thomas, Kanye, you dig? All that paper is going to them. You dig? So we got to understand the game here. Anyway, y'all, I've been on here a long time. Let me get up out of here, guys. It's been real. We had a great conversation tonight. Real good talk. Don't forget, we got a sale coming up in a few weeks. It's a great bundle sale for the summer. It's going to be a very good sale. Remember, it's only going to be 2,000 packages of this bundle sale sold. So you want to jump on it very, very quickly when I make the announcement, ladies and gentlemen. But in the time being, you can go ahead and get Hidden Colors 1 through 5 at HiddenColorsFilm.com. Check out the website, FBATimes.com. And we still need some writers to work for the site. Hit me up at info@TariqElite.com. Remember, the Foundational Black American Conference, that has been pushed to September 19th. We're going to update the site this week. The conference has been pushed to September 19th. Everything is still the same, but it's just going to be on September 19th. We pushed it back because of the whole social distancing thing. And we're still good to go September 19th for the Foundation of Black American Conference in Atlanta. Ladies and gentlemen, y'all have a great night, family. I will holler at you guys Sunday.